Welcome to the Social Expedition. Produced by LunaWeb, visit us at lunaweb.com. This is show number 9, first week of December of 2009. We are here. It is December now.
Oh my God.
We are here.
And for some people, I hear a lot of people talking about how it's a crazy month already. And some people are wishing it away.
Why would you wish December away? I like Christmas.
Well, I think the first few days of it, maybe have been a rough start for some. And they just, if it's any sign of the rest of the month, they just want it gone.
Yeah, if December 1st for me was any sign, I would just, December can just check it on out.
Yeah, okay. the sudden cold snap announcing the beginning of the month has messed up my sinuses again. I'm all sniffly again. I thought I was done with it for the year.
My sinuses are messed up, and I should have known things were going to be bad when my newspaper got sniped yesterday morning. It's like first thing in the morning, you wake up, and something like that happens. I should have taken it as a sign and just know and just braced myself that the whole day was going to be messed up.
Now, is this a new term?
Sniped?
Yeah.
Just means it got stolen.
Okay, just for anything. It's not just like specific to newspapers.
No, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say something got sniped if it was like, you know, someone had to sneak to steal something or was like taken out from under your nose, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I once sniped a cab from someone who was like walking toward the cab and then I sniped the cab.
I see.
Not one of my prouder moments, but
I still like the verb to gank. For it to steal something.
Yes,
but that's
ganking.
A little more brazen.
Yes, I feel like exactly.
You've got a bottle of water on here,
and you just ganked it.
Yeah. If I just reached across you,
and
you
that is
your
not
bottle
a
water,
snipe. That's
a
not
gank.
A snipe. Exactly.
I just ganked your bottle.
100%. Yes. Very intricate vocabulary issues.
Well, wow. I'm learning. Learning a couple. That's two today.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, we like you said right at first that. You know, we're here at the beginning of December. As a matter of fact, I'm actually checked in here on Foursquare.
Yeah, you're the mayor, right, of LunaWeb?
I am the mayor of LunaWeb.
You're only the mayor of LunaWeb because I don't understand Foursquare or what the point is.
I'm not entirely sure what the point is.
I was kind of, tweeting last night, looking at a guy who's come up with Foursquare.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But why? So why is Foursquare called Foursquare then if he's calling it Foursquare?
Foursquare is called Foursquare because the playground game.
This was my natural thought because I definitely am familiar with Foursquare. Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure what that has to do with like location based things,
right?
But I mean, it's sort of an evolution of an earlier service, and I can't remember the name of it at all. But that had basically the same thing. Like you have a GPS enabled phone, you let them know where you are, and that lets all your friends know where you are.
So here's my question. What is the utility of Foursquare for those of us like me who don't understand?
First, I think it's important to note that it's for people with iPhones only right now.
Really?
Is it iPhone only? Or is there one for the Droid and one for the Pre? It's smartphones. I know that for sure.
So I can't log into Foursquare simply from my laptop then is what you're telling me.
You can log in and manage like friends and add locations.
But
you can't like check in.
Interesting. It's a lot of discrimination, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Of course, maybe I don't want the internet to know where I am 24 hours a day. So. Does no one else feel that this is a little big brother? I mean, I just don't know that I want people to know where I am all the time.
Well, what I like about Foursquare is not so much like checking in different places and getting badges and stuff. What I like is that there's a little to-do button there. And people who are using Foursquare around here can like pick a location and then basically offer or suggest something to do at that location.
That
like
is
right here. Right here, the top to-do list I have. It's from Andrea. It says, at Muddy's Bake Shop, have a Prozac or Capote cupcake and some tea. Pick your own mug and pour over some Earl Grey. Lunch menu's great, too. Chicken salad sandwich or turkey. Try it all. I've already done this, so I can go ahead and click I've done this. I get a couple points for that, but, I mean, really, that just takes me a little bit higher up in the rankings. There are no real prizes or anything.
That is kind of fun, though. The to-do list thing I really like.
Yeah, I mean, if you're sitting around bored at home, you can just open up Foursquare, check the to-do list, see what looks interesting. Oh, I haven't been to Muddy's in a while. I'll go
That's
try those cupcakes she's suggesting.
I like that. That feels like one of the things that I like the most about Twitter, which is, you know, the sort of community, like, suggesting things you should do or try.
Yeah,
I
like that. And in a way, this is a community based entirely around that.
Right.
That said, I don't know that Foursquare lives up to the hype that it's getting.
It's gotten, yeah.
I know a couple weeks ago, I can never remember his name, but the main guy from Mashable, actually...
He actually
had a column on CNN... where he basically declared Foursquare to be the next big thing, the next Twitter. I don't see that happening.
I think what's going on right now, maybe there's a little extra hype happening. It's kind of like the Wave thing. I think Wave is a little overhyped, and maybe...
we demonstrated that and experienced that disappointment firsthand this morning at the Social Expedition breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I wonder, too, is, Dave, you talked before about the echo chamber, sort of in a different sense from the way I'm about to use it, but I feel like because everyone I follow on Twitter, I mean, the large majority of people I follow on Twitter are early adopters, they're into technology and that kind of stuff, that I think maybe I get a false sense of how big or crazy something really is, because everyone that I'm following is talking about Foursquare, but they're also all early adopter type people.
Yeah.
And maybe that's actually not representative of what's really going on in the world, and maybe actually no one outside of this office even knows or gives a flip what Foursquare is, but I'm deluded into thinking that if I don't get on right now, that no one's going to know who I am in 20 minutes. So, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, and there tends to be a lot of pressure amongst communities with a lot of early adopters.
Oh, yeah.
To adopt things early.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I totally understand the pressure of, like, you not quite being into it yet, feeling like if you don't jump onto it, you're going to, like, disappear in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case, because just because something new is coming around the corner, that doesn't mean that the old things are going away.
Oh, no. Agreed.
You know, I think that when people do that, it's because, hey, I'm enjoying this thing that I'm doing, whatever it happens to be. And I care about you, and I want you to enjoy life also. So, hey, check this thing out, because it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
Totally. You know?
So I kind of see people who are trying to push stuff. You know, really, they're just trying to share a good, you know, a good thing.
Absolutely. I mean, that's where, like, the push from the early adopters comes. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it can come across as being like, I'm about to abandon this. If you want to keep in touch with me, find me over here.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to me, though, how these things have come into our radar, because I remember when I joined Twitter, I think that the only reason I knew about Twitter was because someone who blogged, I read their blog, they had their Twitter feed on their blog, and so that's how I found out about Twitter. But and then later on realized that I had seen the at symbol in like a Facebook update from a person here or there, but I didn't really learn about Twitter through Facebook. I mean, I didn't know anything about Twitter because of Facebook, but now because of Twitter I've learned about so many other social networking, social media, whatever you want to call it, sites and platforms. I just think that's really interesting.
I'm sitting this one out in the Foursquare. There's plenty of other things I'm already trying to find time for.
Gauge.
And so I'm sitting this one out on the Foursquare. You know, you talked about the in privacy type things. And I think it's good to note right here real quick that Mark Zuckerberg last night, the big thing they're doing away with is this network concept. So, you know, a lot of folks here in Memphis may be members of the Memphis Network, which has really been a complicator in trying to set your privacy settings on Facebook. So they're doing away with these regional networks and going to have people reset their privacy settings, and that's really a good thing coming along.
Are they going to be keeping the college networks and
I think so, because they keep saying regional networks. So I think so. So there's like FedEx has their own network, I know.
Right.
That was a big question mark for me, too, because exactly what you said. I noticed that they were specifically saying regional networks, because I like that I'm associated with my university and that people can see that without being my friend.
Right.
So I definitely don't want to see that go. But I think you're right in terms of it being safer.
We were working on some screencasts for Facebook as far as you know, how to use it, and we got onto the how to set your privacy settings on there, and it was almost impossible to figure out how to explain to somebody. I mean, we got Venn diagrams going on to try and let them know here's how you do it. Anyway, so it's good stuff. Good stuff coming from Facebook. And I know, you know, we're right here on the, you know, on the cusp of things. A lot of stuff going on. Cyber Monday, Black Friday. You know, what's Tuesday? I don't know. But well, that's Super Tuesday. That's an election thing. But so hey, on the whole, you know, on the whole, you know, online thing going on. You know, they haven't gotten into micropayments yet. Facebook hasn't. But there's been a whole lot of people buying things online here. I guess, was it yesterday? You know, earlier this week,
we had the... Yes, on Monday, Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday.
Which I heard this on NPR, actually. Maybe this is old news and everyone knew this, but I didn't know this, that Cyber Monday came about because back several years ago, people only had high-speed internet at work, and so they did their holiday shopping the Monday after Thanksgiving because they weren't at work. Anyway, thought that was interesting. But regardless of that, the fact that we have access, it still this year was even bigger than last year. By 13.7%, Cyber Monday sales beat last year's, which is really impressive when you consider the economic situation that we're in. And not only that, topped Black Friday shopping by 24.1%. So people were shelling out some dollars on the internet on Monday, big time.
Looking for the sales, no doubt. And I noticed from some of the information that you put together that the prime time was from 9 to 10 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, which actually puts it like 11 to noon for us here in the central time zone, and then noon to 1. So it looks like the lunch
break. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think you're definitely right. Yeah. I mean, it's just encouraging. It's always encouraging to see stuff like that, even if people are buying useless stuff. It's maybe good for the economy and at least shows that consumer confidence or, you know, is there on some level, which is a good sign.
You know, and I think, you know, there's that question still lingering about whether it's a confidence issue or just people are so concerned
broke,
you know, saving money,
yeah,
that they're looking for the best deals possible and they're finding those online.
Absolutely.
So, hey, joining us momentarily is Dr. Harold Toboggans.
That's plural. What I'm told.
Yeah, like a
multiple
ones, yes.
Mini toboggans.
Well, I've known of Dr. Toboggan, and see, I've been saying it incorrectly for some time now. I didn't realize it had an S on there, so definitely, you know, looking forward to that. Well, we were expecting Dr. Harold Toboggans, but they sent this Brent Diggs instead. Is that what's up with that?
Well,
is he busy or something?
Yeah, he's a little unreliable, a little flaky sometimes, and so I have to. You'd be surprised how much of his work I end up cleaning up. Yeah. But,
so you're like a sanitizer, I guess.
Yeah. Well, not quite like the plumber where I would show up with like a silencer or something like that, but I do kind of clean up his messes from time to time.
Well, I got to tell you that briefcase that you strolled in here with is a little ominous. I kind of, you know.
Yes, I borrowed that from the doctor. It's very ominous. It's got a little O for ominous on there. It's very impressive.
So okay. Well, let's forget that guy. Let's talk about you then. So you're into social media, and that's what we're all here about this whole episode.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, what do you do? Who are you?
My name is Brent Diggs, and I'm a blogger and. Sometimes an actor and occasionally a comedian, depending on what the situation requires.
Diggs.
Ben Diggs, yes.
And I noticed that you get two G's because it's kind of like dig, like dignation.
They kind of stole that. You know, it was kind of annoying.
They took that from you?
They did.
Wow.
Do you get royalties from that?
Not yet. I need to. I've got my people working.
You're going to write a letter, right?
I'll write a letter.
Some kind of reparations.
They should, yes.
Just tweet about it. That'll fix everything.
That'll fix, yes. Like, what's wrong with you people?
Okay, so you do some social media, as they say.
Yes, I do. I manage several social accounts. I manage the Dr. Toboggans, his social account. He has his own website, drtoboggans.com, and he's also very active on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. And even some people still want to talk to the doctor on MySpace. Wow. I've tried to discourage him from that, but you know, some people are, that's their channel. And so the doctor is all about meeting people on all channels.
Now, I got to ask you on the MySpace thing, those people that want to talk to him there, are they like rockers? Are they musicians? Or
they the Dr. Toboggans did this outreach at the Memphis Zombie Walk. He was out there with the zombies, and mm-hmm. he had a lot of those people came and contacted me from a very old MySpace page I had. They were all talking. We love the doctor. We love the doctor. I don't know why they mistook me for him, but they. And I was amazed at how many people were not on Facebook, were not on Twitter, that MySpace was the way that they communicate with the world. And so I did end up setting up a MySpace page for the doctor just so the people would leave me alone.
That sort of makes sense that the undead would feel at home on MySpace.
Yeah.
There's a certain irony there, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was this year then?
That was in May, yes.
Wow. So you're one of the few people that have created a brand new MySpace account.
Yeah.
I would love to see the statistics on that. On they always want to tell you how many people are still on MySpace or all these other mm-hmm. different stats. I want to know how many actual new MySpace profiles really were created in 2009.
And how many of them are saying, "I don't update this. See me on Facebook. See me on Twitter." Most of a lot of them.
Right, it's like
across.
A little bookmark, like yes. an arrow that just yeah. points somewhere else.
I used to live here, but sadly not any longer.
You know, every time I see those, that reminds me of. A hurricane down south of Miami, I don't know, a couple decades ago, and people were spray painting on the side of their houses little notes for the insurance companies that here's where they are over here, because the whole place was
just
torn apart
town.
And abandoned. Yeah,
ghost town. That's MySpace. Ghost town.
So we're where are you out there? You work on Facebook, MySpace. You said Twitter.
Yes.
You're on YouTube as well?
Yes, I am also on YouTube. I have some video blogs of my own. I manage Dr. Toboggan's video exploits, and it's a very exciting Mind Over Memphis video series that he's very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of, basically, as I owe him so much money, I kind of work for him as a web lackey, and I balance his accounts and stuff.
Just working off your debt.
He's not very technically proficient. He'd rather spend his time looking in the mirror rather than, actually responding to his fans and stuff.
MySpace tends to attract those types of people, so this all makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yes. He's very interested in what he has to say.
So you have your own Brent Diggs.
I do.
But then you're also managing other people's identities.
Yes.
Or stealing them?
No, I'm not really stealing them so much as managing them and trying to keep it all straight in my head. I've been blogging for a while, and you can find that at brentdiggs.com. But I ended up making some social medias, some profiles on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and everything, and it was a great way to communicate. As a matter of fact, a lot of stuff that I would normally talk about on my blog, I've outsourced to Facebook because it's just not even worth putting a dated topical thing on my blog. So I've done that, but I've also managed to pick up. Danger Couch was a band I was in, and we ended up with a full suite of social profiles there. I've recently started managing Facebook and Twitter pages of Lifelink Memphis, which is my church. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get a little more involved in the social sphere. I'm very much opposed to quote-unquote Christian people taking a perfectly good service and recreating it and putting little fishes and Bible verses on it and saying this is the holy sanitized version. I think that's a very bad thing to do with your time.
Huh. Now, what about people that want to create? It's like any vertical social network, really, that's out there. Let's say for our own company here, LunaWeb.
Yes.
So we want to create a social network just for the people here. We want to create a network for between us and our clients. What's wrong with the church making its own social network just for the parishioners and just to have some dialogue and exchange of ideas and hopefully, I'm sure, some good hearty debates.
Well, no, that would work well. We have like Facebook groups where you can join the group and have mm-hmm. a conversation. My emphasis and emphasis of our church is just more about getting out of the building and into the community. So a larger open network without walls would definitely appeal to us.
That was my first thought when we were talking about this, is that the whole God Twitter idea, it seems like one of the biggest
insular
purposes of church is that you're supposed to get in there, and get out and like actually mingle with people.
Well,
and
I feel for them, people that want to get out and watch videos and they don't want any sort of questionable or adult racy content. They want to turn their kids free. I can understand that. But this, you have to weigh the advantages and disadvantages of forming your own little bubble or commune or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain people that enjoy theological debates. I'm not one of them. And those people should not necessarily be out, you know, in flame wars in the public. They should be somewhere, somewhere doing that one-on-one.
Yeah.
Yes, I completely agree.
Well, that's good. So LifeLink Memphis, I'm sorry, that is a that's your church, and so you're out there with Facebook and Twitter. And,
yes, well, and good. Trying, yeah, because they do a lot. They do a lot. Well, mm-hmm. We're yes, recently moved into Midtown and just trying to make friends with the neighbors and everything.
You're right down the street from me, actually. I'm pretty sure. Aren't you there on the corner of Walker now?
Yes, Cooper and Walker.
Just saw that the other day.
And so they have an art gallery in there and a performing arts venue in there, and they all have their little sub accounts that I'm not really working with just yet, but just trying to get the word out of everything, you know, just a way to say, hey, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I want to check it out.
So you're managing the church's social media presence. You've got Dr. Toboggans, you've got yourself, you've got Danger Couch. How do you keep all of this straight?
It's difficult. I'm still looking for good tools. The Seismic, that was working pretty well for me. I'm really looking for something that'll let me smoothly change accounts. So a lot of times I'll have a great thought for a character or a group. I mean, I don't like make up things for the church. No, that's just announcements. But for Dr. Toboggans, he has a thought, or the Danger Couch band I was involved in, they have some fictitious characters in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, this is a great thought. And then I find myself, it's not enough effort to log out and log in and change it. Like, well, I'll just write it down and maybe someday I'll do it. So if I had tools to facilitate that better, I'd probably be more proactive, more active.
I believe in the long tail. Okay. And I think with regard to these applications that let you manage multiple accounts, that we'll definitely see that kind of thing, the long tail play out there. I've tried Seismic, and it didn't grab me. It just wasn't my style. But Hootsuite seems to work okay for us here.
I haven't really tried that. I'll try it out.
You know, it's free. It's web. It's a web-based tool versus, I believe, a last desktop. Time I used Seismic, yeah. it was an actual application.
Yeah,
Seismic's got both a web app and,
do they now? Okay.
And a desktop app.
Mm-hmm. Do you manage some of this stuff from a mobile device as well?
Sadly for my friends and children, no, I'm not. I have a dumb phone, and I just kind of do this sort of stuff after work on my own time, basically.
As opposed to the smartphone?
Just a regular
dumb phone. Okay.
I don't know. I might try to just hold on to that as long as you can, because it just feels like you've managed to keep yourself from getting sucked into something
There is advantages to trying to find some peace of mind and tranquility and, you know, leave stuff behind if you bring everything with you.
Yeah.
Bring your distractions with you.
Hmm.
I think about it. I toy with getting a smartphone, and then I can update all this stuff, and I'm just like, there goes my free time, and there goes my free money, and there goes everything.
Free money.
Yeah.
Got to hold on to that free money when you can.
I know there are times where, you know, not being able to have a signal or having problems with the phone are a little liberating. Okay, so you manage these things. You also write for other Memphis-based type of websites that are out there.
That is correct. I done some writing for Memphis Connect.
Mm-hmm.
Did a little humor column for them. It's a little on hiatus right now. I update Memphis Connect on Dr. Toboggan's adventures, working with Live from Memphis, primarily, once again, documenting Dr. Toboggan's adventures, but mm-hmm. who knows where that can go.
So tell us about Mind Over Memphis and what that is exactly.
Well, Mind Over Memphis is that I feel strongly that people are empowered to really solve a lot of the problems in their lives and other people. Like, I come over and Matthew's struggling with his tire, changing his tire, and in Americans we kind of want to call a specialist. Hello, 1-800-TIRES, my friend Matthew over here has a problem. And that's kind of an exaggeration, but I see that on a large scale, and I think that people really, there's a lot of people, especially here in Memphis, that said, you know, I can do something about that. It wasn't necessarily Matthew's tire, but I mean, with, you know, Food Not Bombs, with the Church Health Center, with various, we profiled Visible School recently, people said, hey, I see an issue, and I think that I personally can address that. And it's like, what, are you qualified? Do you have the backing? Do you have a multinational company back you up? Do you have a grant? No, I'm just going to start and see where it goes. I love people like that. Dr. Toboggans hates people like that because it's a threat to his very existence as a specialist. So he goes in and finds people like that and tries to cure them because they're clearly maladjusted, wanting to help people and not bill huge exorbitant hours as a as a therapist. So that's how he operates. And he just seeks out artists and charities and just general do-gooders, as he would say, and targets them. He comes and launches an intervention, goes in and asks, plays the devil's advocate sometimes 10 years after, like, what were you thinking? How dare you rise up and do this? Who do you think you are? And they always say, well, you know, I'm just me doing the best I can. And he comes up with some ridiculous complex that they have, you know, for why they should just be sitting on the couch waiting, you know, in some FEMA trailer waiting for someone to come in and save them rather than taking it, rolling up their sleeves and doing something.
Well, that's good. That is great.
You see why I don't like to bring him with me, because he's kind of a bummer.
Do people actually pay his bills?
I don't know. I don't. That's how I got roped into this, because I didn't.
He might just have a lot of indentured servants.
I don't know. I can see somebody pulling up here right now.
No, that's not him, is it?
Oh, no.
No, this is not good. Hello! Let me in on demand! Please, tell him we're not here. Okay. Tell him we're not here.
Yeah.
There you are. Stand on my way, man. I have to come in. How dare you start this interview without me? I am Dr. Harold Toboggans. I am here in the house. I am large. I am in charge. I don't know what your issue is, but we shall shortly hear you.
Well, you're a whole hell of a lot taller than you look on the computer.
Oh, yes. Hey. I'm larger than life, you might say.
Well, we were just it's good timing. We were just hearing about this what you do.
My exploits.
And this whole mind over Memphis.
Oh, yes. It's good work that must be done. Memphis is full of do-gooders and ingrates and basic psychopaths who think that they can compete with me in helping people and changing the city. I think we should just write the city off and just move to Florida somewhere. But these people think that they can improve their neighborhood and do good and help each other. And clearly they're delusional. And I try to explain that to them. They don't always listen. But I at least that gives me billable hours, you know. And I like that a lot. An awful lot.
Yeah. And how do you find these good? How do you find these do-gooders?
Well, sometimes their friends turn them in. There are people. We're in negotiations with Food Not Bombs. We're going to go and stage intervention with them. I have a source deep inside the Church Health Center who's put me onto some people there that really have it bad and need to be cured.
Huh.
But we're always. I mean, I have a thing on the website that says, you know, do you need help? And where you can volunteer yourself or your friends. It says, help my friends, keep helping people. Please help me help them so they stop helping, or something like that. And they can send me an email, and I'll get right on the case. Or I usually have my web lackey get on the case because that's a lot of work. But I mean, eventually, somebody gets on the case.
We heard he owes you a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, I don't know why I ever hooked up with him. I put a new question on my patient questionnaire now. Right at the top, it's like, are you broke? Because it's like a flow chart. If you can't answer that question, we don't want the rest of them.
I saw on your website that, you know, one of the requirements for being treated is an extensive credit check.
Yes, we had to. That was because of Mr. Diggs that we had to start doing that. He was clearly
the poor fool.
He was clearly dysfunctional, but yeah, that was the problem. He was a poor fool. I'm all about the rich fools, but it's just no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't have that kind of time to waste.
So on Mind Over Memphis.
Yes.
How often do you have an episode?
An intervention.
Well, I personally don't have an episode. I have my medications intact. But we endeavor to release a new video episode once a month.
Okay.
And which means we have to release one in December. This is December. We must release one. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working with all of my minions and indentured people and cracking the whip to try to get them to release one. We're going to try to do that before the end of the month.
Okay, you've got like almost the whole rest of the month to go.
You don't know my minions; they're very slothful.
you have somebody figured out already? Or?
Yes, we have. There is a man doing business online from Memphis. His name is Guy Cobb, and he does the Tennessee Super Labs, and it's this science show with Mr. Wizard, sort of wannabe sort of thing, where he does these science experiments from his kitchen. He doesn't even have a laboratory. So this is my lab. He lies. It's his kitchen. We exposed him for the fraud that he is. It's not
Thank
a super lab.
God for
it's a super
like
kitchen.
You.
So really, let's see if I get this right. you find people that are doing good things in Memphis, and you try and cure them of their good doings.
Well, you know, every villain thinks that they're the hero. People think that they're doing good. They're just making a mess of things is what they're doing. They just need to... Right. Average people need to stay average and get out of the way of the exceptional people like myself.
So what about the name Toboggans?
It's a brilliant name. You know, I recently did an appearance at a local haunted house. I was trying to cure people there, and they always asked me about my name and if I was named after the hat, and I had to explain to them that they named the hat after me because I had to invent a hat flexible and stretchy enough to encompass my entire cranium and mental energies, and that was no easy feat, I'll have you know. So, I mean, they just had to name it after me. So every time you wear a toboggans and you realize it's not very snug and you have plenty of brains that would fit in there if you actually had them, you can think of me.
Well, going back to the Shut Up and Listen podcast, maybe that's the name of the hat that the Muck Sticky guy wears.
Ah, yes.
That's an interesting hat.
He's an interesting fellow. I've been trying to get him in therapy, but he applies to a different path. So, a natural path or something like that. I'm trying to get him working with me, but so far our paths have not crossed.
All right. Well, yeah. So, you know, you can get... It's an interesting story around the toboggans.
Yes.
Very good. So tell us more about Mind Over Memphis. Where do we find that? Is that a .com? Or?
You can find that at drtoboggans.com. That is my own personal web hub, and it is Dr. Toboggans, which would be drtoboggans. That is drtoboggans.com. You can also find me on facebook.com/HaroldToboggans. You may find me on twitter.com/HaroldToboggans, on youtube.com/HaroldToboggans, and even for those in the 19th century on myspace.com/HaroldToboggans. And you may catch my brilliant video interludes there on pretty much all those locations. I have pictures and videos, pictures of my patients. I might even take a picture of you and put them up so you can see what you look like when you're not hiding behind this microphone.
What are the key things that we need to remember about you?
About me?
Yeah, you know, what are the big takeaways here?
The big takeaway is that when you have a big problem and you need serious, like Einstein-level help, you don't need to be meddling with lesser minds like Dr. Phil. You need to leave those guys alone. You need to come to me. I will cure you. And even if I can't, I'll still bill you. That's what's important. You can feel like you've been cured.
Well, we certainly appreciate you joining us.
Oh, I certainly appreciate not being invited and having to break down the door. You know. That was very thoughtful of everyone involved.
Well, that's not the way that Brent Diggs put it, but you know, we'll take it.
I told you about him.
All right. And of course, you can find Brent at brentdiggs.com.
Yeah, check him out too. 2 G's.
If you'd want to.
Okay. So every week, of course, we recognize our Memphis Tweeter of the Week. And this week, we are giving props to Mark's Menus. Actually, Launch Memphis had an escalator pitch competition about 2 weeks ago, right before Thanksgiving, for local entrepreneurs to come and pitch their ideas. And the sort of brain behind Mark's Menus, Mark Dinstall, won that contest. So that's pretty awesome. Won, what was it, $10,000 in prizes? So that's pretty sweet, and congratulations, of course, to him. And check out Mark's Menus. Basically, it's a sort of one-stop shop to find all sorts of menus from all around Memphis, and they're forever tweeting about, you know, different deals, restaurants around the city, menu items to try, specials, all sorts of cool stuff like that.
Yeah, the big differentiator there is not so much the venue as it is the dish. So they kind of focus, you know, more on the what goes on the plate.
It's not broken down by the restaurant level like you'll see at some other sites. It's basically, what are you into eating? Mark's Menus, hope you find out where to get it.
So evidently very convincing to the judges that were there Saturday for winning that $10,000 worth of prizes, which are the prizes were there to help that business move along. Some more marketing and that type of thing. So, look forward to seeing more from Mark's Menus.
Absolutely.
So what have we got going on in terms of the upcoming events?
On December 16th, of course, we have Twilight Camp, as we do every month, our evening meetup, which will be at Bronte Bistro at Davis Kidd. Very casual. Just come on out, have some coffee or some
quiche. It's my
favorite thing. Okay. Yeah. Have whatever you like and talk about whatever's on your mind in the social realm. And of course, this Friday, as always, we have our Core Conversation podcast happening at 11:30 a.m. And you can find out more, get all the call-in information and the URL at socialexpedition.com.
Then don't forget, we've got on December the 14th, for the folks that are out there who are either podcasting or who are interested in supporting podcasts or actually creating one, we are having an event called Memcast. These are Memphis podcasters. We do not have the venue specified yet, but we're going to start sometime mid-afternoon. It's a Monday and go on up into the evening. And we're really just trying to connect these folks and get that podcasting, yeah, you know, further along in Memphis.
And it's a totally informal thing. You can come and go pretty much as you need to.
Yeah, so that's December 14th. More information over at, you can follow at Memcast on Twitter. Also here with the Expedition. So with that, I guess we'll see everybody hopefully on Friday. Come join us there for that core conversation. Or, you know, out there online at the SM Expedition on Twitter.
See you next week.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. Your hosts are Dave Barger, Elizabeth K. Wine, and Matthew Crawford Trissler, who edits the podcast. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.
You always wave. Microphones don't pick up waves.
You know what?
They don't yet.
Now I'm just doing it because it makes you crazy.
It's the video.
So I'll just keep doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Because if I didn't do it, you wouldn't know what to do with yourself.
Good.